Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Well, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Hello, everyone, and once again on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the night, it is the night, FSP Crew Show, in effect. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker. And as always, we engage in conversation, give you information about the interesting, fascinating, and crazy world at times of fantasy sports and politics. We have a great show in store for you tonight. We're going to be talking about some new hires in the college and NFL ranks in football. We're going to talk about some players deciding they're going to try to try their wares in the NFL. And we're also going to be talking about one basketball, I don't know if you're going to call him legend, but he does it again, does something wacky, and we're going to be talking about that also. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. Also have a chat room open. That's for your pleasure. If you don't feel like talking to us, that's not a problem. You can just use the chat room. Make a statement in there. Or make a comment, or even ask a question, or whatever you like in the chat room. Just remember, whatever you put in there, we're going to respond to. So if you want to put out something that is controversial, expect that type of response back. Anyway, let's stop me from talking for just a short minute and bring in my co-host, Jeff. What's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, you know, the nighttime is the right time. How you doing?
not bad. And I have another caller on here, and I'm not sure of who this is. Caller from the 202, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and your question or comment.
Oh, this is CEO, Clarence Nixon. And
excuse me?
This is Clarence.
Okay.
And I'm calling just to listen in for the moment, man. But, you know, is this Victor?
Is this Victor?
Yeah, I'm asking. Is this Victor?
No, this is not Victor. This is Jerry. I'm the host of the show. You can just listen in.
I'm just calling to listen, but, you know, I'm waiting for the topics or whatever.
Okay, no problem. Okay, all right. Jeff, how you been, my man? What's been happening for you over the past week?
You know, usual fun and games. I don't start watching hoops until the NFL's done, and the NFL is still going strong. If you've been on Facebook today, I like the Chargers with the points. Not that I condone gambling, and I like the Redskins hired Jay Gruden. Not John, who everyone thought would come back to coaching, who hasn't. And I'm one of the few people who follows arena football, and Jay Gruden is an AFL legend. And he's proven that he can coach in the NFL, and now he's the head man.
This is the way I want to go here. I want to talk about an ex-NBA player and my man who's sitting on the line. He may want to comment about this. I'm pretty sure you heard about Mr. Tattoos and piercings, Mr. Dennis Rodman. He and a group of former NBA players, are in North Korea. Going to put on an exhibition for the North Korean dictator, for lack of a better term, because it's his birthday for one. Today, it came out in CNN today. Now, I know you probably heard this before, or you may have seen it, the footage, the video of Dennis Rodman and his outrageous remarks about the Kenneth Bay being in prison for 15 years of hard labor, and he said that he may have done something to deserve his sentence of 15 years. And he backed up several steps, and he apologized and apologized to his teammates and his management team, and he also wanted to apologize to Chris Cuomo, who happened to be the CNN reporter who was interviewing Dennis Rodman at the time. One of the excuses, he said he was stressed out and he had been drinking when he made the remarks on CNN. Well, we all know whether Dennis Rodman and had been drinking, taking drugs, or was stressed out is always good for a quote, a crazy quote, because that's just Dennis. Dennis has been like that for years, and this is nothing new. Now, he said he was stressed out and drinking. I can't dispute that. I wasn't in the room with him. But if you had seen the comments when he was making them and the facial expressions and the body language of the guys like Charles Smith and others behind him when he was making these outrageous statements, you know, they were extremely uncomfortable when he started doing this. They try to tone him down, but once Dennis gets going, it's hard to bring him back. Now, I got Black on here, I got Jeff on here, and I also have Macau. I know you guys may have seen, the crazy comments that Dennis Rodman had made. I wanted to get your comments on what he said, and if you heard his apology or read about his apology today. I'm going to go to my man Macau first, bring in my host Black, and then go to Jeff. Hello, Macau. How you doing, my man?
What's up, man?
How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, look, man, I can't pay that dude no attention, man. That dude... I think that dude's still high from 1995 or something. Yeah, man, he talked like one of my uncles back in the day, you know what I'm saying? He was just like quick. He like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be saying, Nah, man. He ain't even worth paying attention to, Slim. He just trying to get a check, man. You know, he's trying to do what he got. So that's all I got on that. I can't waste my time for that.
Black, talk to me, my man.
This is why you never give athletes political forums, man. I should never tell Robin to do this type of stuff, man. He went over there and played basketball and came back on home. Never give these guys a platform to speak on foreign issues. They don't know what to say.
Jeff?
You know, Dennis Rodman is a character. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but, you know, if he cut himself shaving, all that would come out would be smoke. That guy is a smoker, and he's a drinker, too. Usually guys like that are harmless, but I think this thing's been brewing for a while, because I remember he went over to North Korea, maybe it was last year, and just going on about his new bro over there. You know, he's silly, and, you know, this is just him going over with a bunch of guys to play ball. This isn't endorsed by the NBA or the government or anything like that. And, you know, he's just, at this point, he's a B-list celebrity.
Well, it's unbelievable that he's been over there. This is his fourth time over there, and I can't believe that he's such buddy-buddy with this young dictator, this North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. I don't know, maybe he's getting the kind of attention from him that he's not getting from someone in the States. I have no idea why all of a sudden he's taking a liking to someone that's the leader's dangerous and the country and the, what they their philosophy of is dangerous to other societies around the world.
Hey, I have got to disagree with Jeff. Biden is not a B-list celebrity. I think he's like a F-list or anything but what? E, maybe an M-list. I don't even know what list he's on now, but he is on no B-list. B-list is giving him too much cred.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was trying to be generous to somebody who obviously needs a lot of attention. But okay,
yes.
In his day, he was a heck of a ball player. I mean, defense and rebounds, like, unreal with that guy.
He
was something else.
Yeah, but
all arms and legs and all hustle. When he was with Detroit, before he became a sideshow, he was unreal.
Yeah, but his day. I mean, if you look at, I'm looking at a picture of him now, and you can see that his lifestyle has taken a toll on him, and it's hard to see someone that's a so-called celebrity go through the things that you know aren't good for you. And it shows. I mean, it absolutely shows how bad all the partying and the things that he's done to not be a good thing for his body and mind. But it is what it is, and I just hopefully he gets in a better place sometime soon. Well, so let's move on. Before I do that, I mean, before I go to the next subject, I got to give kudos out to one of our hosts on this show. I'm talking about Mr. Wright. Last week, I think it was on this show, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Wright said that he had $1 million lock on the NCAA. BCS championship game. And lo and behold, he said he absolutely said take Auburn on the points, and that's a lock. And lo and behold, it came to fruition. Black, I got to give you kudos. I know a lot of people thought Florida State was going to blow out Auburn. Auburn had to wait until the waning seconds to pull that. FSU had to wait to the waning seconds to pull that game out. So I got to give you props. Talk to me, my man.
Hey, man, I'm a professional at this national championship thing. You heard me? Handicapping this game for 8 straight years now. The SEC has made it so easy to handicap. So they play the best competition week in and week out, besides the cupcakes. I took a look overall at the SEC. I took a look overall at the ACC conference. I saw the opponents of Florida State were blowing out. It was no match for the competition of Auburn. That was an easy play to make. And I hope everybody on the show made money. I gave out that lock last week. I got a couple of inboxes from people that want money. So this is a great way to start out your new year.
Okay. I don't know if anybody besides Black or myself made something, maybe a little bit on it, but it was worth it. Anyway. Let's move on to this. All right, as you guys know, there's several teams: Detroit, Redskins, now the Titans, because they fired late. They fired Mike Munchak. Tampa Bay and others decided to say goodbye to their former coaches and say hello to whoever they got or whoever they're going to get. Recently, as like today, we're going to go from today and then work our way back, Jay Gruden got hired, who was the OC, or offensive coordinator, from the Cincinnati Bengals, and helped the progression of Andy Dalton over the last 3 years, got hired by the Washington Redskins to be their next offensive coordinator. Now, one of the things they had asked him in the interview is had he talked to Robert Griffin III, and Jay Gruden said he had not talked to Robert Griffin III. Now, I got a Washington Redskins fan on here, I got a Dallas Cowboy fan on here, and I got a New York Giant fan on here, three members of the NFC East. The reason I'm saying this is because I'm going to backtrack a little bit over the last three or four days. There's been rumors, supposedly inside information that has been leaked to the media, that Robert Griffin III had been bragging about how he had a lot of influence in the organization, especially with the owner, and that he had, behind closed doors, been finger-pointing and berating his wide receivers, and there was a lot of conflict between him and the wide receivers. And through that, there was speculation that he would be instrumental in picking the next head coach of the Washington Redskins. The reason I'm saying all that is because when Jay Gruden got interviewed, just like I said, he said he hadn't talked to Robert Griffin III, and supposedly Robert Griffin III wasn't sitting in on the interview process. So my question to you guys is, what validity do you have of Robert Griffin III being instrumental in picking the next head coach? And do you think that, from what all media reports are saying, that there's a lot of attention between teammates because of Robert Griffin III's so-called relationship with the owner, and thinking he has a lot of power and that he can wield it whenever he wants? I'm going to go to McCall because he's a definite Washington Redskins fan, the only one on here. I'm going to go to him first, and then we're going to go with Black and then Jeff. Talk to me, McCall.
Hey, I think we have a caller on the line as well.
Yes, we do have a caller on the line. I'm going to ask him also, but I want to get to you guys first before I get to the call.
First off, you know, a few weeks ago, like I told you, you can't trust nothing that the media is saying or speculating. And I will go straight, you know, and because, you know, I'm the type of dude that I am. My name is McCall, a.k.a. The Grown Soul. You can find me on Grown Soul and Real Talk because I'm about to put this out here. Sally Jenkins is out of her damn mind. You know, she is out. She is all the way in New York City. That is where she stays. That is where she reports. How in the hell she know what's going on down here in Trashburn? I'm sorry. I have no validity in any of that. The only validity that I put in that is that Mike Shanahan been leaking these stories because he's the only one that can benefit from this. He is the only one that can benefit from this. You got Robert Griffin out there in Hawaii, you know what I'm saying, with his wife. He ain't said nothing. He just made one tweet today. That was it. He hasn't said anything throughout this mess. But all that nonsense about there was finger pointing going on in the locker room. Hey, look, let me tell you something. When you in a room full of guys and you sitting up there and you're trying to make decisions, you're trying to make things right, of course you go bump heads. You're going to bump heads, okay? So you ain't saying nothing. You didn't see it out. You didn't see it in the game. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff translates to anything to make them better on the field. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line, the Redskins suck this year. They was 3-13. That's why these articles keep coming out. And then, you know, these articles keep saying anonymous sources say and, you know, someone with close ties to the organization was speaking on the condition and anonymity. I'm sick of it. I don't even read it no more. Once they said that, I'm like, nah, I can't read it. Because it ain't going to do nothing but piss you off. And then you still looking around like, man, I don't know who's saying this or who's saying that. But I'm not high on this coaching hire, nor am I low on it. I think that they that they conducted themselves very professional about it. But you know, you could kind of see the writing on the wall with the people that they already had in office. You know, I'm not against them on this guy. I think you gotta give him some time and let him come on in and do his thing. And please miss me with the whole RG3 can't be a diva type thing. I mean, you just had this stoic old guy coach up in here, and he basically took it to RG3. So, you know, you can miss me with that because that dog won't hunt. So, I think this guy will come in here. He'll be able to work with him, and we'll see. We'll go from there. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying Super Bowl. I ain't saying never. I just want them to be a functioning franchise because I'm sick of all these leaks and anonymous sources, this and that. I'm tired of all that. Done with. Done. So done.
Talk to me, Black.
You know who those sources are, Mikhail. Come on, man.
Huh?
I said, you know who those sources are.
It's Mike Shanahan.
You don't know who Sally Jenkins' source is? Who's the greatest guy for leaking information? And every time it's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
It's our good friend Chris Broussard. But anyway, man, I don't know what to say about this guy. I don't know if Bruce Allen had a hand in it. I don't know if Snyder had a hand in it. I know I've been loving all the stories coming out of Ashburn all offseason. Plenty of turmoil in Redskin country, and I just love it. But I think this how it might work out. But the one thing that I'm scratching my head is that they were keeping Jim Heisler as a defensive coordinator. Now, that I couldn't understand. Unless he's going to take the time out to bring some more people in. But keep my eyes, I don't see how that helps him out.
All right. Jeff.
You know, I spoke about Jay Gruden early in the show, and I like Jay Gruden. I'm familiar with him as a coach and as a player. And this does put Gruden with Bruce Allen, and Gruden's brother was able to win with Allen in Oakland, which is very difficult to do. And, you know, Daniel Snyder is similar to the late Al Davis. And I'm thinking maybe Jay Gruden, you know, if he could turn it around quick in D.C. Most people don't want to work for Daniel Snyder if you're a coach. He'll make a name for himself and then, boom, go on to the next job like his brother did in Oakland. And you can't blame him for it.
All right, last but not least, the caller from 202 has been listening to the show. I don't know if you're a Redskins fan or not, but I'm going to ask you, are you a Redskins fan, and what's your impression of Jay Gruden being a coach?
Yeah, I'm a Redskins fan. And as far as Jay Gruden goes, I mean, I think he's just one on the long list of coaches that, you know, has come under the Snyder regime or whatnot. I've learned that with Snyder, whatever your resume was, you can kind of throw that out the window because he seems to be the type of owner that likes to you know, control things. So if you were a great coach elsewhere, that doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach in Washington. If you were a sorry coach elsewhere, that doesn't mean you're going to be sorry in Washington. So, you know, as far as Gruden goes, he comes to Washington with a clean slate, as far as I'm concerned. And with the turmoil or whatnot, man, I think that the media just looking for something to stir up because since RG3 has been with the Redskins in front of the media, he's pretty much been a class act. So they're just looking for things to stir something up. I don't see him being a controversial person and spreading information about how he has the owner in his pocket. But, you know, that's my take on that.
Okay. All right. As you guys know, that there has been at least one more hire. You know what? I'm going to go this way. The Detroit Lions, because, and it's the reason why I'm doing this. The Detroit Lions, quite naturally, you guys know, fired Jim Schwartz, and have been on a hiring search. Well, been on a search for a new coach. One of the coaches they've talked to with Jim Caldwell, who was the former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts and offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. From what I understand, from what has been reported, and the reason you'll find out one of the reasons I'm saying this, because it leads to the same thing that they said about RG, that Matthew Stafford had been sitting in on the interview process with the prospective head coaches, I guess, to either get their philosophy and to see that if it would be a fit in how he wants the quarterback and how the head coach wants to be able to get the most out of Matthew Stafford, and the two can coexist. I'm going to go right down the list again, starting with Jeff this time. What are your thoughts on what the reports are that Matthew Stafford is sitting in on the interview process of a head coach that is going to be his boss? Jeff?
You know, I mean, if you look at it from an employment point of view, a corporate point of view, in some jobs, I think they sometimes do something like that. The employees don't have say-so about hiring a management position, but sometimes as part of the process, they'll have a prospective supervisor sit down and speak with the employees just to get a feel for how they interact. I've seen this on TV. I haven't had to really deal with it, but it happens sometimes in the workplace. It's all about the details, so, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sound too ridiculous.
Black.
I wish he would show the same dedication sitting in the film room and learning all the defenses that are sitting there trying to figure out who his next coach is going to be. That guy needs to really hit the film room hard and study. There's too much talent in Detroit for him to fail year after year after year. So, Stafford, get out of those meetings, man. Go to the film room. Get your Peyton Manning up, man. Go learn something.
McCall?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, because the absolute most critical relationship on a football team is between the coach and the quarterback, or if it's going to be the coordinator and the quarterback. You know, that relationship is very, very critical because it's going to dictate, you know, how you're going to win or you're going to lose. You know, so I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't think it's ridiculous at all. And Detroit has just been mired in so much stuff for so long and coming up short so many different times. I think it's a good move. I really think it's a good move. If you do not hire your coach with, you know, that relationship in mind, or how, you know, or that coach doesn't have a good grip on how he's going to deal with that relationship. I mean, if he's like a defensive coach, what type of offensive coordinator is he going to bring in, and how does he see that? You know, how does he see that working out? I mean, that's a very serious question to answer as a prospective coach. I mean, one that I wouldn't want to answer. I wouldn't want to be sitting on that seat at all. Not me. Sorry. I mean, the money sounds good, but nah. But no, I don't think it's out of the realm of play, and I don't think it's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, the Jay Gruden went to no. Let me put it this way: the reason I'm saying this, do you guys think it's a double standard? Now, I talked about RG3 and being involved in the process. Reports saying he was involved in the process of hiring a coach, and I just gave you another example of supposedly another quarterback from a different organization being hired, being in the interview process, I wouldn't say the hiring process, but the interview process of hiring a coach. Is there a double standard here, or that's what I'm getting at? Is there a double standard here? Because one's getting lambasted, and the other one, you guys just said he should be. So I'm not saying you guys are lambasting him, but in the media, RG3 is getting lambasted for supposedly being in the process, and Matthew Stafford is not. So,
and you've got to understand where that's coming from. That's my whole. That's what I started with from the beginning. You got to understand where that's coming from and who that benefits. That benefits Mike Shanahan. That conversation came from an article that was leaked from Michael Shanahan. Leaked that mess out there in order to taint the whole, you know, the whole process that the Redskins are going through. And it's not hard to throw. It's not hard to throw stones at the Redskins right now, you know. And it's not. It's really not hard. I mean, but it shows an incredible lack of class and a lack of understanding. I mean, I didn't get what the big deal was about, you know, RG3 having, you know, some input into it, but I just didn't like the whole Art Briles thing. I just didn't think that would work well. But it would be crazy for them to not get somebody, you know, like Jay Gruden and not consult with Robert Griffin III. No.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, my man.
I think if that was the case with Stafford, you know, sitting in on the interviewing the coaches, I think that's a bit tacky. That, you know, if he was directly influenced in the decision. You know, it's one thing for the coach or the GMs or whatnot to bring the information to Stafford and, you know, get his input. But for him to be sitting there, it almost creates like an environment where he's superior over the coach. You know, in the workplace, when something like that happens, it's usually management sitting there, not somebody that you're supposed to be directing. So I think, you know, if that did happen, that's a little tacky, man. You know, the coach is supposed to be the one calling the shot, not the other way around.
Anybody else want to chime in? Okay. Let's move on. Let's go down to Tampa Bay. Lovie Smith just got hired, and lo and behold, he brings the ex-coach of the Minnesota Vikings to be his defensive coordinator, meaning Leslie Frazier. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but now he's down there, and he has supposedly a quarterback guru what the heck is his name? I forget his name. I know his first name is Jeff, but he's a quarterback guru. I'm supposed to be an offensive-minded guy that can complement Lovey on the defensive side. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I want to talk about it again. The combination of Lovey Smith in Tampa Bay along with Leslie Frazier on the defensive coordinator side and a new offensive coordinator Lovey's never worked with before, what kind of success do you think Tampa Bay with their Mike Glennon probably being the franchise quarterback or maybe going out and get another quarterback in the process that they're going to have in Tampa Bay along with the conference of Carolina Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the New Orleans Saints? Jeff?
You know, that must have just happened because you know, I was on the road before, so I didn't hear the most recent news. Lovie Smith got a lot of interest. I'm glad he's head coach again. I think his record in Chicago merited that. I didn't know about his coordinator hires. This is why you want to hire a head coach quickly so he can get top guys before everybody commits to a job. I'm curious about Greg Schiano, if he's going to get paid this year for not coaching and if he plans on working, because I think he's shown he's a better college coach than NFL coach. But you think Penn State would have been interested in him. But did they hire Franklin from Vanderbilt?
From what I heard, I think that's a strong possibility that he got hired from them. The report is today that they're very close to hiring him as a new coach. Right now, I'm not exactly sure if he is hired, but I think they may be working out the details. Let me put it that way, for sure.
Excuse me, to get back to Franklin, I mean, this guy has so much interest, you know, because what he's done with the program at Vanderbilt. I mean, he doesn't just have college interest. He has NFL interest. I think he's crazy to take that Penn State job because a lot of those fans are living in the past, and that's one of the problems. I like college football a lot, but sometimes you get these delusional fans and alumni, and they just don't want to live in the present. But it is a high-profile job, but, you know, if he can't win and they don't think he is respectful to the tradition, whatever, they'll be unhappy with him in a couple of years, and he'll move on like Bill O'Brien.
Macau, love you, Smith, Leslie Frazier and company in Tampa.
I thought Lovie should have went to Detroit, but you know it is what it is. It seems like it's a more conducive environment for him down there in Tampa, and they bring in Leslie and Leslie is very interesting because you know he's the one that took Josh Freeman his starting quarterback, and now he is out in Minnesota and back out in Tampa Bay. I mean, the musical chair is just ironic to me, but I think Lovey's going to do well down there. I don't know if he's going to do great, but he's definitely going to do good down there, so I expect that to turn out pretty much of a good hire for Tampa Bay.
Black.
I'm excited to see these guys together, but I'm not sure if it was a good move for Lovey. I mean, Carolina's on the come up, and, you know, New Orleans has a lot there as well. It's going to be a tough rebuild for Tampa to try to get back competitive. It's going to be very tough.
All right, my man. You're up.
Yeah, you talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to agree with Black on that one, man. That's a tough division, man. So I'm hoping that Lovey does well there, you know, but, you know, Carolina and New Orleans, they pretty much got it for the next couple of seasons.
All right. Well, Minnesota's still looking. Tennessee's still looking. Hugh Jackson taking over the offensive coordinator duties in Cincinnati. Since Jay Gruden's left. Now, a lot of people don't like Hugh Jackson. I wouldn't say a lot of people, but a lot of people have a hard time with Hugh Jackson because he's very outspoken. He was extremely outspoken and bordering on cocky when he was the head coach with the Raiders. But there is no dispute that he is a very good offensive coordinator, very aggressive. And I think it's going to benefit the running game because he does like to run the ball quite a bit. And when Hugh Jackson was with the Oakland Raiders, Darren McFadden had his best years as a running back. So I'm thinking that the running backs of the Cincinnati Bengals are going to flourish. And that's going to benefit Andy Dalton because he's going to be less mistake-prone because he won't have the ball in his hands. I don't know if you guys got any opinions on that, but I'm going to put it out there. Do you think about Hugh Jackson being promoted to the OC of the Cincinnati Bengals? Now, that Marvin Lewis, now there's just some talk, and the reason I'm saying this because there's some talk, that and Stephen A. Smith came out a few days ago and put this out there on the air in First Take, said that he thinks Lovie Smith should be fired for the simple fact he's been in Cincinnati for 11 years and has not won a playoff
Lewis.
Game.
You mean Marvin Lewis?
Marvin Lewis. Yes, the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals has been a head coach of for the Cincinnati Bengals for 11 years. And has not won a playoff game. Five of those 11 years, he's been in the playoffs. And that's less than 50% he's been in the playoffs for the 11 years he's been there. And the times he's been in the playoffs, He has not won a playoff game. And he's saying he should be fired for the simple fact is other head coaches have been fired for a lot less. And this is a production-type business. If you don't produce, you're out. A lot of coaches like Mike Munchak, 1 year and he was out. Two things. Lovie Smith, should he or shouldn't he be fired because the fact is he hasn't produced as a head coach?
Bobby,
plain and simple. Wait a minute.
Bobby Lewis, man. Bobby Lewis. Not Lovie Smith. Bobby Lewis.
Did I say Lovie Smith?
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
You have a lovely tonight.
Marvin Lewis, should he be fired from the Cincinnati Bengals because he hasn't produced a one playoff win in 11 years? Talk to me, McCall.
Nah, I don't think he should be fired. I like
11 years. He hasn't won a playoff game.
I like what the owner said, man. He was like, nah, I'm keeping him because I remember what it was like before he got here, you know. And Cincinnati just had so many knuckleheads and just a culture of losing. And this is that and the third. And he's brought stability there. He's brought respectability there. And I just think that they just haven't had, like, the right pieces. They've got a lot of good pieces there. You know, they've got a lot more than a lot of other teams. But you know what? It takes stability to build that up. You know what I mean? They got to the playoffs. I mean, shoot. I mean, the Redskins ain't probably been in the playoffs once in, what, 4 or 5 years? Nah, man. Nah. He let him stay. If the owner going to keep him, then let him stay.
You know,
Black. Go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry. I didn't know the bat in order. You know, I think there was talk maybe 4 years ago about Marvin Lewis being fired as the head coach of the Bengals, and I heard one of the reasons the Bengals ownership, who don't have deep pockets like some other ownerships, didn't want to pay a guy for not coaching the team, and then they drafted Dalton and Green and, you know, got a lot of other good young players. The thing is, you know, in some teams, because they play in a big market, they're expected to win, like New York, of course. And some teams, because they have a great winning tradition, they're expected to win. I think they're a little more patient in a place like Cincinnati. But when you can't win a playoff game 3 years in a row, you got some kind of problem. And, you know, it does – Jay Gruden, who people thought he got the job as coordinator because – He was making the lowest salary for a coordinator in the league, and that turned out to be a brilliant hire. And I'm curious how that offense is going to look with a different coordinator, because there's people saying now that Gruden made Andy Dalton look great. So we'll see how he looks without Gruden. And they definitely got two good running backs there. I mean, late in the season, Bernard was looking like the dominant guy, but Green Ellis is no slouch. That might be one of the best 1-2 punches in the league. So I'm curious what's going to happen with that team.
My man, I'll let you jump in here.
Go ahead, Clarence.
Yeah, I like the idea of that organization sticking with one coach and you know, giving them time, like my man said, stability. You know, as a Redskins fan, I kind of was hoping for that in Washington, where you give a coach time to turn the franchise around or at least do something with it. It kind of reminded me of the Kansas City Chiefs of the 90s, where they stuck with Marty for, you know, an extended period of time despite him, you know, losing in the playoffs. And then you also got to look at it like, what direction are you going to go? If you get rid of Marvin Lewis, then you got to start from scratch. So, you know. I like the idea of them keeping them, man. You know, if anything, like if they get drastically worse, that'll be something different. But as long as they stay afloat, he should stay there, man.
11 years he's been there without winning a playoff game. been only in the playoffs 5 years out of 11 years, has not won a playoff. And this year, before I go to you, Black, this year, his home record, the Bengals' home record was 8-0, had not lost a home game. San Diego comes in from the east, from the West Coast, and beats them. Andy Dalton turns the ball over four times. Black.
Yes. It seems that Jerry Jones has two teams in the NFL. And along with those two teams, two coaches that aren't going anywhere. One is Marvin Lewis. The other one, Jason Garrett. So, Jerry Jones, kudos to you for owning two teams and pulling the seventh you pulled. But if I'm Marvin Lewis, I'm getting on the horn and I'm calling Lovie Smith. I'm completing the all-black staff down there at Tampa Bay, and I'm promoting Mike Zimmer. And I heard Zimmer's name rumored to be going to Minnesota, but Zimmer deserves a shot. And, you know, we gave Marvin Lewis 11 years now, and there's nothing happening. Go ahead and throw Zimmer there and see what's good. Zimmer's right on your staff right now. He's the D-coordinator.
Okay. Who hasn't chimed up in this? I guess everyone has. Okay. I wanted to talk about another hire here. And I'm going over to the college ranks now. All right? Two hires. Okay?
Trino.
One being two hires. Two hires. One is a familiar name, and another is not so familiar name, except for those who know college football. First one being the old new Louisville coach who got rehired after coaching in other venues and being rehired for the Louisville Cardinals football team. I'm talking about Bobby Petrino being rehired as the Louisville Cardinals football coach again after supposedly, and this is a quote from the, I guess, the athletic director or the president, I'm not exactly sure who it was, had a week-long search of a football of candidates and decided to go back to Bobby Petrino. Black, you are the college football aficionado here. I want to get your opinion on that hire.
Good old character friend, Bobby Petrino. Huh? It's good to see Petrino back in the ranks. He's down there in Western Kentucky. The guy's a class character, man. I'm glad to see him back in college football. Western Kentucky, that's going to be a tough, tough job for him, but his name recognition alone is going to get recruits down there. I'm interested to see how he's going to carry himself down there at Western Kentucky. Definitely a character, though. One of my favorite coaches.
Really? Okay. Let me go to Jeff. Talk to me, Jeff. Bobby Petrino. Sue-wee.
I don't care much for Bobby Petrino as a person, but he is a very good college head coach, especially in regards to offense. And I think I guess it's good that he left Louisville on good terms because that's really where he made a name for himself.
Right.
I think it's good for him. I mean, yeah, he made some mistakes at Arkansas, but you know he didn't kill anybody, and you know. Was coaching at Western Kentucky last year, and you know, I think it's a good move for both parties.
All right, my man, talk to me.
I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one. Y'all talking college football, man? I'm green to that.
No problem, Macau.
I don't see how this dude is getting this job. Man, man, this dude is off the chain. It wasn't he the same
Petrino,
dude?
Petrino, man. Petrino.
Wasn't that the dude that was riding up the highway on a motorcycle with his...
That's right. That's right.
And then the same chick, he been getting her, he been pimping her around, getting her jobs at every one of his spots. Oh, man. swear, for Lord, I don't know how this dude keep getting jobs. I don't understand it. You got perfectly good coaches, you know what I'm saying, that ain't, it's, you know, it's fighting to get jobs, you know, scrapping to get jobs. You got my man down there, Charlie Strong, you know what I'm saying, getting lambasted by the Texas alumni. You know what
we'll get to that.
But yeah, but you know what I'm saying? And you got this dude. I mean, he can just go anywhere and get a job. I don't understand it, man. I don't understand. I ain't hating on the man, because, you know,
you're
everybody.
You're hating on Petrino, man.
I'm just saying. a man can get out here, get a job, and feed his family like everybody else. But I'm, come on, man.
Okay.
Would he been to like four or five different teams before? And since he left Louisville, now he's black? Oh, man, no. Oh, my God, no. I can't do it.
All right. Okay, caller from the 419. Welcome to the FSP Cruise Show. You're calling in on the Fantasy Sports Casino Hotline. Can I help you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? This is Scotty Brunswick. How you doing, Black?
Scotty! What's going on, my man?
I'm just calling in to say, hey, let me tell you something. I just caught the last part about Bobby Petrino, and
right.
I must have caught it at the right time, because there's not a bigger disgrace to college football than Bobby Petrino. I'm going to tell you what. I have oodles of friends in Louisville, and I don't know one of them that like Bobby Petrino. I really do, and I think what he's done to college football, it's a travesty that they hired him back. Louisville, as far as I'm concerned, I hope they do not win one game next year. I hope they don't win a game in the next 5 years. I've never seen anything a bigger disgrace than bringing a guy like him back to your program. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable to me.
Wow. Okay.
It really is.
Well, you know what, my man? The reason I said bring up Bobby Petrino is because the fact is I'm going to go to the next guy who left that vacancy in Louisville and moved on to Texas. I'm talking about Charlie Strong, who's the next head coach of Texas University of Texas. And the reason I'm going to bring up him near the end of the show is because I want to also talk about one of the Texas boosters, Red McCombs, who called to hire a kick in the face and made reference to the notion that he believes Charlie Strong would make a great position coach or his assistant, but is not suited to head up a program like Texas. Now, Charlie Strong had done a fine job at the University of Louisville, and now he moves over to Texas. My man from the 419, I want to get your opinion on Charlie Strong in Texas first before I go to anyone else.
Okay. Like I said, I have a lot of contacts, a lot of close friends. I've been to a lot of Louisville games. And everything that I've ever heard about Charlie Strong, I don't know him on a personal level, but everything I've heard from people in the SID, and just everybody that's involved at that university, he's a first-class guy. He's a no-BS type guy, but he's a guy that you'd love to play for. I would be shocked if he doesn't put Texas in the top five, you know, within the first year or two. I mean, he's a great recruiter. He's a great people person. And I think it's going to be a tremendous hire for Texas. And I just know that they just hired one of my buddies, Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel just became the linebackers coach at Texas. He left Ohio State University today. But Mike is Mike played, I think, about 14 years in the NFL.
Sure.
Won about three Super Bowls with New England. He was a linebackers coach for Ohio State. He just left today, as a matter of fact, and joined Charlie's staff. So I know that Charlie's going to assemble a tremendous staff. And as a head coach, you need to have a great staff. And I think he's going to be a tremendous staff. He's going to win a ton of games in Texas.
Okay. Black?
No, I agree with Scott. The guy's a solid dude, man. I don't know why Wilson and alumni are coming out like that against him. Give the man support. You just hired him to your program. Give him some support. My goodness.
Jeff.
You know, like I was saying before, this is, you know, Red McCombs, the booster who said all those negative things about Charlie Strong. You know, McCombs, he's a booster. He's not an owner. And, you know, when you're in the NFL, you don't have to deal with guys like him who give some money and then they think they can call the shots, you know. That's what makes some of these college situations very difficult, and that Texas job comes with some baggage, and big-time boosters who like throwing their weight around is one of them, and I don't know why this man thinks so low of Strong, and he's such a hypocritical jerk. He says, oh, I'm going to stand by him, but then I'm going to criticize him for five more minutes. You know, it's just very wrong, very disrespectful.
Macau.
Yeah, just to piggyback on some of the stuff Jeff was saying earlier, you know, the stuff Jeff was talking about how, you know, some of these college programs or the college followers or whatever, they delusional. Yeah, this dude delusional. He been down there in Texas drinking that moonshine or something. Oh, what's wrong with Jeff? I mean, how could you not know that this guy Chuck Strong and, you know, turn Louisville around? I mean, everything I've heard about him has just been all on the up and up. So, you know, they just delusional, man. He's just a delusional old man. You know, just let him go ahead and keep on ranting. You know, and you know what? He done put his money out there to Texas. So let him go ahead and talk. He just an old man talking. Don't pay him no mind, Chuck. He gonna get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they got a lot of long money in Texas, and the Texas alumni and supporters all think they think a lot of their program and it's not hasn't been on the main stage in a while, so they still think it is. I think Charlie Strong is going to bring it back, just like Scott said, to where it should be, Texas. But they got a lot of long money there. Anyway, before we get to the end of the show, or about to the end of the show, one more guy in college football. I don't know too much about this guy. I got two guys I definitely know college football that they can school me a little bit on, briefly on. James Franklin to be the next Penn State head coach. He's come from Vanderbilt. I know that. Talk to me, Scott. We'll go to you, then go to Black. Talk to me, Scott, about James Franklin from Penn State, going to Penn State, I should say.
Well, I think it's a great hire. Why? Well, for a lot of reasons. I think the intensity that this guy will bring to the table is Nick Saban-like. He is a guy that is hardcore from the word go. His practices are top of the – I mean, it's unbelievable what they do in practice. I mean, if you can win at Vanderbilt – let's think about this. You can win at Vanderbilt and the SEC – and do what they do. So for him to get an opportunity to go to Penn State, I think it's a great fit. And you obviously you had Joe Paterno, who was unbelievably successful, and then Bill O'Brien for
right.
a couple of years. And then you bring in a guy like Franklin. I think it's going to be a night and day difference between the intensity level. I think you're going to see a lot more discipline Penn State. When they, you know, give them two more years when they're off their ban, you're
going to
see
a
powerhouse. So this guy can
flat
out coach.
Black.
You know the toughness of being in the SEC. And to go from a program like Vanderbilt, like what Scotty was saying, that was nothing before he got there. And to win in the SEC like they did, this is a very, very good hire for Penn State. And I think Franklin is very excited to work with the young quarterback there at Penn State, too. Was Hockenberg? Is that his name?
Yes.
Hockenberg?
Yes. Yes.
That's going to be a nice combo to see hooked up for the years to come. I like this guy. Franklin's a good coach. Very good coach.
Jeff?
Franklin has gotten a lot of interest from big-time college programs, and I heard even the NFL. He could be picky. I'm a little surprised that he would go to Penn State, but if he could win with all the sanctions they're dealing with, then he'll prove himself to be a heck of a coach, which everybody already thinks he is. But he'll be able to pick any job in the world if he could keep winning at Penn State.
Macau.
Yeah, I was just a little bit surprised. I mean, because you know I'm an overly ambitious dude. I always shoot high, so I thought he could have, you know, he could have made the leap to the NFL, really, you know. But you know, I think Penn State has got this steal. You know, this is a good steal. This is a very good hire for them. You know, being as though with the sanctions and stuff they got to go through, and you know, this guy's willing to get up in there, and even after all the stuff that O'Brien was saying, I mean, O'Brien was just like, I'm still piggybacking on what Jeff said. Those folks out there have been saying the delusional, really delusional. But, yeah, I think it's a good hire. I think he should, I think he's going to turn it around and keep it going.
All right. Last but not least, I'd be remiss because I have to ask this question, and Scott seems like he knows a lot. Besides, along with Black, about college football, Scott, Bill O'Brien left Penn State and went to the Houston Texans. Give me the positives and the negatives of Bill O'Brien.
Well, the positives on Bill O'Brien is his intelligence. You know, I know a lot of people that I know some guys that have played for Bill O'Brien. He is a very, very smart when it comes to X's and O's. This guy is as good as it gets. He flat out can coach the game. Is he going to be a great head coach in the NFL? I don't think so. You know, the Texans were awful last year, obviously, 2-14. You know, they're not going to be a whole – they're going to be better next year because, you know, they were good last year. But, I mean, the year before last. But as far as a guy that's going to be able to continue to win, I don't think so. I'm not sold on Bill O'Brien as a coach. I'm sold as him on an X and O level. But as far as what it takes to be a head football coach in the NFL, I think he's going to be 2 years, and in 2 years you're going to be talking about, well, Bill O'Brien just hired as the new head coach at North Texas University because he just got fired. That's just my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion because that's probably what's going to happen.
You're breaking my heart. I'm a Texan fan, so you're breaking my heart here, Scott.
I'm being real with you, man. I'm just being real.
I'm glad you came at him like that, Scott. But I'm very surprised at the years you gave him. You're giving him two, I'm giving him one. I'm giving him one and done.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm really done for the Texans right now.
Wow, tonight.
Wow. You guys really, really broke my heart here. Hopefully. You're mistaken, and he surprises quite a few people. But we'll just have to wait and see what the first year of his reign as head coach of the Texans brings. Well, we come to the conclusion of the show. I want to thank Jeff, Mikal, Scott, Black, and my man. I forget your name. What's your name again?
Theo.
Theo, for joining me tonight.
Nah. CO, like the man in jail. You know, CO.
T.O. Yes, T.O.
Nah.
Okay, I have a list, man. T.O. Okay.
Nah, CO, man. ABC.
C.O. C.O. Okay. I want to thank all you guys for joining tonight into the FSB Crew Show. Tune in next week, same time, same space, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. We're all going to be talking about some football, and next week we're going to be talking about the conference championships because that's where we're going to be at come next weekend. So with that being said,
go Chargers!
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go around real quick before we leave out of here. I'm going to go in this order. Jeff, Mikal, Scott, CO, and Black. Predictions for the four games that are going to take place this weekend. Jeff.
Oh, shoot. Well, as I've said before, I think the Chargers are looking like a team of destiny.
Oh, my goodness.
Just without, with or without points?
No, straight up. Not points. Who's going to win the game?
That's tough. That's tough. That's too tough to call. In Denver, Denver's got a great home field advantage. I hate picking against them, but Payton sometimes in the big games doesn't come up big. And I tell you, Chargers looking good. I like. Oh man, the other game is tough too. I like both San Francisco and Carolina. Carolina's playing well. San Francisco's getting hot. I guess if I got to pick one, it'll be San Francisco. Indy at New England. I think New England, and I think Seattle will beat New Orleans at home.
Macau.
Give me the Chargers for 2,000. Give me the Chargers, baby. I'm going with them. I'll take the Patriots and a side order of the Panthers. Yeah, Panthers over San Francisco. Also, I'm going to take the Seahawks over them. Over them.
Scott.
San Diego will absolutely get crushed this week. I promise you. Denver will annihilate San Diego. New England will beat Indianapolis. Seattle will beat New Orleans. But if you're taking the points, that's going to be a close game. So take New Orleans and the points, even though we're not talking about spreads. And the last game, San Francisco will beat Carolina. That's my four picks.
Okay. CO.
Yeah, I like Denver over the Chargers. I like the 49ers over the Panthers. I like the Patriots over the Colts. And I'm a Drew Brees fan, so I want the Saints to beat Seattle, but they probably ain't going to do it. So I got Seattle over the Saints.
Black.
Seattle, New England, Killer Cam, and the man they call Manning.
Blackie, you just echoed what I was saying. I think it's Manning, Brady, Russell Wilson, and Colin Kaepernick. No, I'm sorry. The man they call Cam. I think Cam Newton goes to the NFC Championship.
There you go, right there. That's what I'm talking about.
With that being said, I want to thank you guys again. And like I said, for those who are listening, tune in next week. We won't have the same cast of characters. We'll be close to it. But with that being said, we are out of here. Enjoy the games this weekend. And make some money for those who are putting a financial stake in these games. See ya.
Yeah. Mr. Anchor, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.